Welcome to Optimizing, the podcast about leading Africa's digital future. I'm Professor Barry Gulatsky.
And I am Karen Gamby.
In season two, we set out to collect stories and advice from a group of interesting people who I've encountered on my life's journey. While they're all very different, they also have some things in common, apart from being my friends and acquaintances. They are all leaders who have played and continue to play some part in the digital economy in South Africa, Africa, or the world. They are also all people who have touched the lives of others in various ways. In our conversations, we use the metaphor of life as a relay race. We ask them to talk about how they received the baton. We also ask them to talk about the baton or batons that they would pass on to the next generation of leaders. Through these conversations, I was joined by Karen Gamby, who is a young digital professional at the start of her journey. She represents the generation of future leaders who will receive the baton from the people we've interviewed. Karen joins me today as we reflect on the 12 conversations that made up season two of our podcast. Karen, let's start by talking a bit about our 12 guests, each of them. We started with Professor Chiletsi Marwala. He's currently the Vice Chancellor at UJ, University of Johannesburg. He's also a world expert in AI and the Fourth Industrial Revolution. Then we had Kent Beck, the inventor of extreme programming and one of the signatories of the very important Agile Manifesto. He was followed by Mteta Nyati, who is currently the chief executive of Altron and wrote the best-selling book, Betting on a Darkey.
We then had Mark Harris, who is one of the veterans of our local digital economy. He has been the head of IBM South Africa and Kagiso Media. Our fifth guest was Tim Jenkins, who is a political and social activist. Part of his story is told in the recent movie, Escape from Pretoria. We then had Peter de Villiers, and he's a founder of one of our most successful tech startups called Clickatel. He and his co-founders invented the technology that 20 years ago linked the world of mobile phones to the World Wide Web.
Our next guest after Peter was Monica Singer, who digitized the Johannesburg Stock Exchange, and she's now driving the adoption of blockchain. Goliswa Mahlangu is a tech educator who's working hard to bring young people, particularly young women, into the digital economy. And then we had Cliff DeWitt, who worked as an executive at Microsoft South Africa, where he helped to nurture and support thousands of tech startups and also train tens of thousands of software developers. Cliff is now working on his own tech startup.
We then had Nomso Kana, a young cancer survivor, nuclear scientist, and entrepreneur, who is working to set up a company that will produce fiber optic cables in South Africa. Then moving on, we had Sifiso Sekondana in his early 30s and is one of the new generation of economists working to understand the development of future digital economies. He is a chief economist at IQ Business, South Africa's largest independent management consulting company. And our last, which was guest number 12, was Tiani Ngunyama, who is the 2019 IT Personality of the Year. He is the co-founder of the organization Geek Culture. He also gave Professor Barry Gulatsky Grand Geek as the title, and thus inspired him to start a series of podcasts.
Great. We've clearly had some great conversations, and I've been thinking about them all, and I wonder what you think we learnt about their common origins and background. What did we notice as common themes in their life stories?
Yeah, I think for me, for sure, the common denominator across all 12 guests was just this like innate sense of curiosity, almost like this profound childlike curiosity, which I sort of see in myself too. And I thought that was really interesting and compelling.
Yeah, it was really something important. So they kind of really all spoke about being so curious. Our first guest, Chiletsi Marwala, spoke quite engagingly about his childhood in rural Venda, where he watched his grandmother make clay pots, and she taught him to be curious and to ask questions about the materials that she used and the processes that she followed. We also spoke about his father, who was a maths teacher, who would bring home maths textbooks, which Chalitzi read and learned from. Some of the other guests as well had parents who were school teachers. That was an interesting common theme. A lot of our guests were children of school teachers. Some Teto Nyati, Kolisa Mahlangu, and Nomso Kana all had parents who were teachers, and their teacher parents encouraged them to be curious.
That's absolutely true. And I think that's also like a really beautiful observation that like parents can inspire this deep sense of like curated curiosity. I know that some of our other guests or close family members also sort of encouraged them to get involved in learning about technology. So Kent Beck's father is an example, who was an engineer at Silicon Valley in its very early days. Peter de Villiers as well, his father was a businessman and entrepreneur who brought Peter a very early iteration of Apple Mac computers. We also had Cliff Tevet, who had an uncle who taught him about electronics.
Curiosity kind of really featured in people's life stories as well, like, for example, Mark Harris, who was working in an insurance company, and then he became involved in installing its first computer. He decided to learn more about computers, having seen this first computer. And in the years that followed, he landed up as the head of IBM in South Africa. And Tim Jenkins, for example, turned his curiosity about how apartheid South Africa worked. Mm-hmm. He went overseas when he finished school after living in this protected white bubble that white South Africans did. And he found out about what really was happening in South Africa. And this led to a lifelong pursuit for social, political, and economic justice, which in Tim's case was coupled with this amazing ability to teach himself about technology and to innovate in unique ways. And then Monica Singer, turned her curiosity about how to build trust and eliminate corruption in financial and economic systems into groundbreaking work, which she did at the Joburg Stock Exchange. And then in her current passion as an ambassador for blockchain.
It's actually quite incredible to think about sort of like the cross kind of like collaborative efforts that various thinkings have brought about. I know Sifiso Sikonjana is one such example, who was driven by this curiosity about like economic systems. Then we also had like Tiani Ngunyama, who really loved science fiction, and I guess his curiosity was fueled by that and how to understand the ways in which to make these like fantasy worlds real worlds in South African and African context.
And but it was important as well, and I kind of noticed this, that apart from curiosity, the guests also had something else in common, and they all have this incredible energy and drive in doing something with their curiosity. So it's one thing to be curious, but what do you do with that curiosity? And it's true to say, I think, that all our guests use that curiosity to move forward. So some went into formal education, where they did very well. Others went off on specific paths to achieve amazing things, driven by this curiosity.
That's a really good point. And I guess another compelling theme that sort of came up in many of these conversations is this conversation around like mentorship. And Peter de Villiers said that, you know, it's about the journey and not the destination. It's about the people that you encounter on that journey that really matters, which is really, you know, succinct and profound. A lot of the people that we spoke to also discussed, you know, sort of their relationships with their mentors and their role models. Teto Nyati has been mentored throughout his life and now mentors others. He spoke about how he sees mentorship and the process and how he decides who to mentor. In his book, Betting on Adaki, you know, this This was about offering mentorship to a much larger group of people.
And it's quite interesting to note as well that some of our guests refer to each other. So it proves what a small community we live in.
Yeah.
But, some of them had mentored each other. So, for example, Mark Harris had mentored Nteta Nyati when Nteta was a young engineer at IBM. And then Nteta, when he was head of Microsoft, went on to mentor Cliff DeWitt. And then some of them also kind of see each other's role models. So Tiani sees both Nteta and myself as role models for him. So it's kind of interesting how these networks work and how people help each other. Did you have any other thoughts about mentorship?
Look, I think that sort of framing of it, this like ecosystem of like you are mentored and then you mentor again and just sort of comes full circle. I think that's incredible, and that's exactly sort of the energy that we need, especially in tech, you know, especially when we're dealing with like, you know, technical debt. Like it's really important to have people to look to and to guide you and stuff like that. And I think Ntet also spoke about being really sort of intentional about what it is that one wants out of mentorship, when one is on the receiving end, but also when one is mentoring. And I think that's something that is often kind of taken for granted, especially when you're young. It's just like, oh, I just need to find a mentor, right? Mm. But no, it's like, what are you actually trying to get out of it? What is the long-term vision of this? So I guess that's probably one of my other reflections on the mentorship conversation is the intentionality that it requires.
Yeah, and I kind of heard what Mteta said about how he chooses who he'll mentor. And he says if he sees the person as wanting to come to him just to get a job or get some business, he won't mentor them. He really expects them to come with a vision of them, with their own vision that he'll help them implement. But it's not...
Yeah.
A sort of way to just leverage off him, but he helps guide. It was interesting. So the whole metaphor of this season was one around passing the baton. So we asked people about the baton they picked up, but most importantly, we tried to set things up in each conversation as them, as the guest, coming into the conversation with you and I, but in principle, sort of sitting you down, you and your generation, and saying, future generation, here's my advice to you. Here's the wisdom I'm going to pass on. And it's interesting that people passed on quite different things, but also very similar things. So I've sort of gone through all the conversations, and I'll just... conceptually, sit you and your peers down and kind of tell you about what we learned from this second season of Optimizing. So, and I'll sort of go through them one at a time. So, Chalitzi said to you, Karen, and your generation, be involved. Get involved in local things. Like, for example, for you, get involved in the AI community. Yeah. He also encouraged you to be open-minded. And finally, he said you should read and read widely. And that was interesting. So it's not just reading the professional stuff or the work-related stuff, but read fiction, read anything, because that broadens your world understanding. And then Kent had... two lots of advice. He first had some quite technical advice for the techies in your generation and your audience. And he spoke about how in the old days, and I remember these old days, used to take ages to see the effect of changes we made in code. So he mentioned punch cards, which I spoke about in the first season. And he said that it has taken many years and a lot of smart people working really hard to reduce the time it takes to get feedback from a change you make to the work you're doing to see what effect that change will have. And we got that down to seconds. But he says, sadly, we've now squandered this gain. So he's encouraging young developers to find ways to try and win back that time, to try to reduce build times and get to kind of seeing the effect of what you do really quickly. So that was one piece of technical advice he gave. But then more personally, he encouraged geeks not to be geeky. He said that the geek world, the techies, shouldn't accept the stereotype that says, oh, well, I'm a geek and I don't communicate well. He said, don't accept that. Geeks should make the most of themselves and not accept the least. He said, if the geeks get involved in impossible ethical issues, then they can make the world make the right decisions at the right time. And I think that sort of rang a big bell with you, because that's really something that you've said quite a lot in our conversation. And then he said to people to be the best that, to try and be the best that they can, to be a complete person. He spoke to you about music, and he said, make music and do other stuff. Be a complete person. He also had a book suggestion, and I've looked up this book, and it is on my Christmas list. It's by Danilo Meadows, and it's called Thinking in Systems. It looks really fascinating. And then he had a very special message to you, Karen. He said he wants your SoundCloud, because you told him you were learning music. So I just want to ask, have you sent it to him yet?
Oh, holding me accountable. Oh, no, I have not. I haven't even started a SoundCloud. But you know what? I'm going on leave pretty soon. So I think that's absolutely going to be my passion project.
That's it. And that's to not be a geek and be the complete person. Have your own SoundCloud. So there you go. That was Kent's advice. And then we kind of heard quite profound words from Mteta, where he said that here in South Africa, we are, and to quote him, blessed with problems. He said we should create solutions and new companies that take those solutions to market. So, you know, we should sort of rejoice in the problems we have, because it gives us opportunities to do stuff and do new stuff. He spoke as well about the need to do something useful with your life and to be self-aware. He said that people should connect with who they are. And that was very profound, because he gave some examples of himself. So understand yourself and connect to that self. Don't try and be something you aren't. So that was really what Mteta said. And then Mark encouraged people not to be left behind. We kind of know at this point that the future is going to be digital. And he said that people should find a digital job. So don't simply say, I want to be a lawyer. You should aim to say, I'm going to be a lawyer who uses digital to do what I'll do in law. And he encouraged people, and quite a few of our guests encouraged people, to start their own digital business, not to just count on having a job. So, Karen, have you currently started your own business, or is that only going to come next year?
Maybe next year, but definitely getting involved in friends' sort of business pursuits and stuff.
And that's a great thing, and we'll come to some more advice on that. But it was also interesting that I think Mteta said, if you're not an entrepreneur, then it's fine not to be an entrepreneur. So he's been asked why he builds other people's businesses rather than starts his own. And he said, because he's connected with himself, he knows what he does well. Exactly. So that was really good advice from him. And then Tim kind of threw in a different metaphor. So the metaphor we've been using is passing the baton. And but Tim, for obvious reasons, kind of said that he sees life as an escape from prison. And he spoke about his experience in actually escaping from prison. And in the sort of metaphor prison, he said that we are in prisons in terms of our constraints we live in, either economic or social or geographical. So we kind of have these prisons. And he said that his life metaphor is that we should keep the goal, which is freedom, escape from our prison, firmly in mind, and then tackle each obstacle one at a time. So he tackled a number of doors that he had to open, and he sees life as that, where we tackle each obstacle one at a time. And he made wooden keys to escape from Pretoria prison. And he said, think of simple solutions and get things done. Exactly. Don't overplan. Just find a simple way to do something and then get that done. So I think his metaphor of an escape from prison is very compelling, and I really like that.
Yeah.
And then Peter spoke to entrepreneurs, and he said, be authentic. So for those of you who do want to start your own business, it must be something that you really are passionate about. You can't fake it. So, he spoke about how difficult it is and how hard the journey is. Mm-hmm. And he said that he really would encourage people to be authentic entrepreneurs, to have something meaningful that they're trying to build. And then he kind of made a really interesting point. He said that you are never too small, or it's never too early in your life's journey to help others. And this, he said, he learned in a conversation that he had with Bill Gates. And I think that's important, because a lot of people see, let me first sort out my life and make a million and be famous, and then I'll start helping others. And he said, no, at any point in your life, you should reach out and help other people. Yeah. So I think that was an important thing. And then he said something quite scary. He said that we should be brave and burn bridges. And that sort of goes against my instinct, where I keep the escape route open all the time.
Yeah.
So if things don't work, I can backtrack. But he encouraged people to do something different, to say, if you leave the bridges open, you aren't going to take risks. So burn bridges. So tell me what you think about that. Is that something you could do or should do?
You know what? And I think it is actually a really interesting point, because I think especially if one is trying to, I guess, center ethics and social sciences in AI work, you know, a lot of the principles that brings about is sometimes antithetical to tech and tech culture. And so I think you know, if you do want to prioritize the sort of humanity in tech, you are going to burn a few bridges. And I think one thing to sort of bear in mind is the goal is to never not be scared, right? But the goal is always to be scared and like do it anyway. And so I found that piece of advice to be deeply encouraging, because, you know, it comes from someone who's obviously been in the game a relatively long time, and I guess has benefited from burning bridges. So I found that to be like, yes, okay, fight for the things that you really believe in.
Yeah, I must admit, it makes me feel nervous, but maybe that's the whole point. And then we kind of heard quite wise advice also from Monica, who said, if you can dream it, you can do it, but understand your physical limitations. So, and the examples that she gave, at some point in her life, she wanted to be an astronaut. And yes, she could dream that, but she couldn't do it because she didn't have the physical attributes to be an astronaut. So, you know, my dream was to play rugby for South Africa, but that was never going to happen. Not really, but but you get the point. You have to.
Yep.
You can have a dream, but you have to take account of what is feasible. And then she said as well, don't talk too much. People should ask questions, but let others find the answers. I think a lot of us are tempted to both kind of ask questions and give answers.
Agreed.
And what Monica said is, it's fine to ask the questions, but stop there. Don't give the answers. Let people puzzle it out themselves. And I think that was great advice. And then Goli spoke about this thing of sort of not being afraid. She said everything, and she made up a great word, everything is figure outable. And she said, don't be afraid to try things. You won't break it. Just try it. And her advice was to find people to help you, and don't be afraid to speak up. She said for sort of much of her younger life, kind of there were things in her head that she wanted to say, that she wanted to contribute, but she was too afraid to kind of say it in case she didn't look smart or meet people's expectations. Mm-hmm. And she encourages, especially young people, not to be afraid to speak out and to speak their mind. So that's great advice as well. And then Cliff had a whole lot of great advice. He said, believe in your own abilities. We have demons inside our head that tell us we aren't good enough. And that sort of really reflects what Pauli said. And then he said, don't believe that your managers, your leaders, your seniors have all the answers. In many cases, you are more expert than them in the work you're doing. And you probably know more than your manager, and you definitely know more than your manager's manager. He said, don't always ask for permission. And don't accept the status quo. Question why things are done the way they're done, and don't just accept it. But then importantly, have humility. So if you do make it in some way or some aspect, don't get all full of yourself. Remain humble and acknowledge everyone in your team. He said everyone from the person who cleans the office to the person who maintains the infrastructure is part of the team, and acknowledge them and accept that the team wouldn't work without them. And then a special thing he said to you is, don't be impatient, to you and your generation. Yeah. Don't be impatient. Don't expect instant gratification. Yeah. So accept that things take time and work towards it. And finally he said, do something that's worth doing. If you're going to devote energy to something, make it something that's worthy, that's worthwhile. Did that kind of reflect quite well with you?
Yeah, no, it was very very important advice. I'm not a patient person, and I guess that is true for the rest of my age mates. So I guess, having him be like, hey, listen, take a breath, be patient.
Yeah, let things happen. And then Nomso, who's a fantastic person who really shared so much with us, and she listed her advice as telling people to be self-confident. Again, the thing Pauli raised and Cliff reinforced, to believe in yourself and to be part of something that's bigger than you. Don't constrain yourself by your world, but be part of the bigger world. Yeah. And what Nomso said is, work on yourself to be assertive and confident, which again is Goli's point. And then Tim's point about having a goal, and what Nomso said is, have a plan and then have mentors and role models to help you achieve that plan. So I think those are such wise words. And then our last two guests, Safiso said, I think tongue-in-cheek, but maybe not, he said, become an economist. So he's recruiting for the profession of economist. But I think what he meant by that is, like, really understand how the economy works and how this, because it plays such an important part in everything we do. And he kind of made a really profound point. He said the professional of the future should understand contribution rather than extraction. And that's so important. I mean, people focus a lot on what they can get out, what they can make, how they can grow themselves, but or sort of grow their pie, but not think about what they contribute to the sort of bigger pie. So that was really wise words from Sofisa. And then Tiani said to everyone listening, watch Star Wars. And I think people should, because I think science fiction really helps us kind of imagine the future. And it's amazing to see how many of the fantasies in science fiction over the ages have translated into the technology we see today. So Tiani said, look at what's around you, see the world as it is, and see what you want to change. And then look for who in the ecosystem can help you change it. So look for help, but kind of look for opportunities. And he encouraged people to join the University of YouTube, which is such wise words. And I haven't told Wits yet that they've got huge competition. But this University of YouTube, there's so much out there. You can learn so much. I've been working on a website, and anytime I need to know something, I look up on YouTube or Google. I find videos and I learn how to do it, and I'm learning so much so quickly. But then what Tiani also said is stay focused. And he said rather than training to do 1,000 tricks once, train to do one trick 1,000 times. So become a master of what you do. And I think that's so important. In this complex world, you have to specialize. And I think he really encouraged people to do that. So that was the collection of batons passed on to you. What do you think of this huge Christmas present you've been given by all these people who
could help you? Yeah, what a gift.
Exactly.
You know what, I guess it's interesting because obviously these are all like intuitions, right? Like these are all things that make sense and hold up. But there is definitely something about like the weight of it that comes from relative experts and people who have been doing things a long time that just sort of gives it that particular kind of validity. And it just makes it really like encouraging, I guess. There's something about like tech and I know less about entrepreneurship, but I imagine the same is true, that can be quite like lonely, especially if you're trying to figure things out for yourself. So I think all these pieces of advice and little gifts has been really, really important and just, really sort of affirming. I've been really happy to be on the receiving end of these conversations, and I'm sure a similar sentiment will reign true for I guess, the audience.
I hope so. So this really brings us to the end of season 2 of the Optimizing Podcast. It's been 12 weeks, well now 13 weeks of interesting discussions with really fascinating people. And I hope that the listeners to this podcast get value out of this. And I would really encourage people to do two things, to kind of share, to pass on information and links to these podcasts to people around them. But then also to join the conversation. So there's a companion website, which we'll give the link in a couple of minutes again, but it's called thegrandgeeks.africa. And people can go on there and can find a companion page for each of these conversations. And it's really a great opportunity to put your thoughts down in the comments section and to try and get a conversation going. Because I think that it's not a one-way path. It's a two-way conversation. And really, we've put things out there, but we'd like to hear back from listeners in terms of what they have got from these conversations. So season three will be coming in 2021. Look out for that. And in the meantime, I want to thank you, Karen, for being such an amazing co-host. And also thanks to all our guests who have given of their time and their knowledge and wisdom. Mm. And I wish everyone well. And please keep track of what's happening on the Optimizing Podcast. And we look forward to season three. Thank you.
This podcast is a Grand Geeks production. It is produced by Professor Barry Dwalatsky and edited by Evan Wigdorowicz. It is presented by Professor Barry Dwalatsky and Karen Gammy. Music is done by Callum Cool and logo design by Evan Wigdorowicz.
The companion website is www.thegrandgeek.africa.